Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Patriots Monday. We are live from Gillette Stadium. It's WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcan, Andy Hart. Your phone calls at 617-779-7937. We got room for you. We'll get to your calls here in just a moment. But big story of the day. It's nice that the Patriots won. I think we all, I don't know if you agree with that. You wanted them to go 1-16 and have the first overall pick. I was happy to see a win. Most people who voted in your poll were happy to see a win. 0% of Patriots fans were happy to see Drake May go out with an injury, especially a head injury. This is now two injuries in 3 weeks, right? I mean, he had the knee thing, which we may or may not have had an MRI, but he was certainly on the injury report with a knee. It didn't end up limiting him at all, but it was something that popped up there. He's now had to leave a game with a concussion after a hit to the head. These aren't things that I think, we don't even know when he had the knee problem or where it happened or how it happened or anything like that. This one here was not the result of him getting killed by his bad offensive line. He was running. I mean, he was running with the ball and going into a slide, and it was because the pocket was, I thought, held up pretty well, and a big hole opened up, and he ran right through it. I mean, that wasn't bad offensive line play that led to that whole sequence. And when he went down to slide, it was one of several runs he had there in the first quarter, one of them which he ran in for a touchdown, which we'll get to that too because that was a great play. But this one was not, you know, it wasn't like he's back there and here comes a, you know, whoever on the blind side and he didn't see him and he gets hit. That didn't happen. It was more like Tua's concussion where he jumped forward and, you know, got hit, or he led and initiated the contact, so it wasn't exactly like that. But it was more like that than I think what people were scared of when they were scared of putting Drake May out there because they were worried, oh, you can't put him out there, he's going to get killed. He did get knocked out of the game, but it wasn't for those reasons. It was because he was running so much.
Yeah, no, this, I don't know what you've seen on social media, the reaction. I haven't seen a ton of victory laps from the people that said you can't play him because you're going to break him. Because I think anyone with any objectivity and observational skills says, yeah, I don't count that as what I thought was going to happen. These are not like the instant jailbreaks pressures that Brissett faced at various points over the first month plus of the season. He's an active running quarterback. And I would say the biggest issue here is he's going to need to learn what kind of a runner he is and how he's going to finish runs. And this is something I'd like to actually get into at some point later in the week on a larger scale.
Okay.
Because I think it's a topic. You asked him, are they doing enough to protect you? And I give Jacoby Brissett credit. He said every rule is basically to protect us.
Yep.
So they're trying to protect him. But something they put in place here or a style, I think, leads to more injuries. I retweeted something that went viral that I didn't really expect to. I went to a college game this weekend where a kid got lit up on a slide, knocked out of the game, and like back-to-back days, I saw that, and it's led me to believe that sliding is bad. And then I started to think, I don't really see Lamar Jackson slide. Guy rushes for 1,000 yards every year, doesn't really slide. Now, Russell Wilson mastered slide or get out of bounds.
Right.
So there's different...
Mahomes does that too. He gets to the, he stops.
Right.
Know?
And so there's different styles, and I think Drake May needs to figure out where his sweet spot style is, because I do think, because the other way is the Tom Brady way. You slide way before it's even an issue.
Right.
Way, way, way early. The Drake May athletic quarterbacks that slide late set themselves up to get hit in the head. It's just the reality, and I have no problem with what Sherwood did, really. I think it's almost impossible. If you're actually going to make any attempt to tackle him.
And he said he was trying to hit him. Like, right. You know, he's running, so.
Yeah, but when he's running upright and I'm at the strike zone level, I'm going to hit him in the ribs. Then he slides and suddenly his head's where the ribs were, and now I'm, you know, object in motion tends to stay in motion, all these laws of physics. Mm-hmm. What the hell am I supposed to do? And so I don't fault him at all. I think it puts the defender in a really tough spot to the point where when I tweeted about it, people are coming up with ideas like, oh, we got to put like some sort of light on the quarterback, and he buzzes himself out. And when his – almost like the backboard in basketball, when his helmet turns red, you can't even go near him. Like he's giving himself up. I don't know.
But if if you've already leapt forward.
That's the problem.
It doesn't matter. You can have put whatever you want on him.
But if he doesn't slide. He doesn't have to slide. He just pushes the button and you can't hit me now. Kind of like the red jersey on the practice field. Something to indicate now you can't touch the guy. He's not actually competing. Because I thought Mahomes.
Press the button like an Iron Man suit comes up.
Yes. Something like that someday. But Mahomes benefited from this last week.
Yeah.
When he did that little squirt stop down the sideline.
And then he went 10 more
yards. Because everybody's afraid to hit the quarterbacks. But they're also afraid to get embarrassed, so they're in this weird land. Now, I think Mahomes is different.
If Mahomes was in the middle of the field, he was on the side. He does his thing on the sideline.
Correct.
He uses that sideline.
Which is not really fair.
You're right in the middle of the field. You're sitting duck.
Just light him up and take the penalty. See, this is where I become one of those Patriots fans. I mean, Mahomes.
Someone's going to eventually.
Because I still am an old-school football guy. Yeah. And I the thing I wrote, you can see it here, my notes, May is fun. That was like my takeaway of the first quarter. Oh, my God, it's so fun again to watch the Patriots play football with Drake. He was becoming Josh Allen before our eyes with the running and the throwing, and this is an issue that the Bills have had. Now, Josh Allen, I don't think slides a lot. I don't watch every Bills game. He gets in trouble because he does the Elway thing. Like, he tries to catapult over goal lines and, like...
He'll put his shoulder down.
And I actually think that may be safer in the long run than just exposing yourself to these knockout blows. But
that's what Cam Newton used to do. Newton in his prime would lower his shoulder and run you over, you know?
And I actually would like a blending of the two.
Yeah.
Go head first, but don't try to hit anybody. Go head first, but try to dive in a crevice, a hole at their feet so they can't really hit you. Don't try to take the contact, but I think this is going to be a learning experience and something Drake May needs to figure out how he's going to handle those situations. And I would advise no slide. Apparently, Jim Mora Jr., the head coach at UConn, teaches his quarterbacks to go head first. He does not believe in the slide.
He teaches
them to go head first, control their own head, and try to control where you end up so you're in a safer position. But from a Patriots perspective, Drake May needs to figure that out. And I don't think the slide's the answer for him. Because the slide,
he's so tall.
He's tall. He's 6'4".
He runs upright. You know, like he doesn't. Even guys like Newton and Allen, like they kind of, when they run, they get a little lower to the ground. He's running straight. Yep. He's like Usain Bolt, you know, like he's all the straight up perfect posture. And that's when you're trying to get low. That type of thing's bound to happen, you know?
Hopefully we'll have the opportunity either next Monday or the Monday after.
When I say Usain Bolt, I don't mean as fast as him. I mean in terms of, like, tallness and height.
No, but he's fast enough.
Yeah.
Again.
When he outran that linebacker, I was like, oh,
Everybody underplayed.
I thought that guy had an angle on
him. Yes, everybody underplayed his running ability.
Yeah.
And I don't think he needs to be a runner, but it is a big part of his game where he can have a lot of success unless he's getting dinged up because of it.
Right.
And that's where that fine line is that you always walk with these mobile quarterbacks, right? You want mobile quarterbacks. Those are modern. They can extend plays. Hey, don't get hit. Don't, you know, get down, get out of bed. Like, well, I thought you wanted me to run. So do you want me to run or do you not want me to run? Because with this team, I think he's safer on the run than he is standing in the pocket longer.
Could be, although, you know.
Oh, the great Verdarian Lowe's back, and this line is good.
Brissett only got sacked once. For the rest of the game, he was out there the next three quarters. He only got sacked one time. So, I don't know. I do think the O-line play has been better, but that is an injury for Drake May now, his second in 3 weeks. It makes you wonder, is this guy...
Well, the other one was not an injury.
He was on the injury report.
Yeah, but he had a discomfort. Like, an injury means you can't practice or you can't play.
Fair enough, right?
Because he was full participation the entire time in practice. And then they removed him, and he played. So this is his first injury. That was just... an issue that he worked his way through.
Yes, and didn't seem like anything was bothering him at all.
No.
Didn't seem like that was restricting him or his footwork was off or that he couldn't make plays or be explosive or any of that stuff. He did all of that in the one quarter that he played in, not even. And you saw it on display. So,
did you know he leads the NFL in elite throws percentage?
I didn't know what was a statistic.
And it doesn't really mean anything either, because then I looked at the rest of the list, and like the next five quarterbacks stink.
Will Levis.
He was in the top like
really?
Five or six. Trevor Lawrence was second. Yeah.
There's not so elite then.
Yeah, no. It was
Anthony
less.
Richardson, who quit in the third quarter yesterday.
It was a little bit like Drake May's first game with the 300 yards and the right. three touchdowns, and then you looked at the rest of the list, and you didn't. Until you got to Dan Marino, you weren't all that impressed with the rest of the list.
Yeah, but not great.
He certainly makes elite throws, and he should have had another recruiting video if it weren't for Tyquan Thornton.
I know. That's too bad. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Here's Stiz with what's trending, and when we come back, these Patriots wide receivers, what can they do about it at this point? We'll discuss it after these words.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural? Or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I don't know what you do about this. I really don't. I mean, I don't. This past week, it seemed like everybody got a bit of vindication, you know, from Jacoby Brissett to Alex Van Pelt to Jerod Mayo, even to an extent Kayshon Booty, but he had two drops earlier in the game, two big ones. Tyquan Thornton had one there on what would have been maybe May's best highlight of the season.
Yes.
From a throwing perspective. I mean, that was a play that he extended, was throwing on the run, put it right in the bucket. And of course, here comes Thornton coming back to the ball, and he just can't get his hands up and can't hold on to it. He did get hit, but still, I mean, that's a ball he should have had.
He's an NFL wide receiver.
Is he?
Well, for now. Yeah. Right now, he's technically an NFL wide receiver. He was
sure.
A second-round pick.
I know.
And I'm not allowing people – I've seen the rip jobs tying him to Bill. Is it fair for me? I feel like I tie him to Groh because Groh was so outwardly, if you want fast players, you got to draft fast players. He's the fastest receiver at the combine.
Sure, I'd agree with that, yeah. But I also think it's not like Bill hasn't whiffed on receivers in the first and second round.
Oh, no, he has.
Just as bad, if not worse, than Tyquan Thornton. So
sure,
No. I don't know.
I'm just not putting this all on Bill. I think there's some blood on the hands of Matt Groh.
You know? Sure. I think if
– he can't just skate.
No, he doesn't. I don't think he should skate, but I do think Bill had the final say.
Yes.
And if he was very much against drafting Tyquan Thornton, it wouldn't have happened. That's how I feel about it.
But don't you remember?
Yeah, I know Groh said all that stuff, but he may have been saying it to parrot what Bill was saying, you know? Like, I don't know. Or trying to justify reaching on a pick like that for a guy that maybe he didn't really want. I don't think that he was in the business of going against their own picks that they made, because ultimately it's Bill who's the one who has the final say on it.
Yeah, I think Groh had a voice in that pick. I'm not putting that all at Bill's feet.
Like, Nikhil gets credit for Cole Strange?
I think Bill gets credit for Cole Strange.
Okay.
That's all on Bill. No. Nobody else. And on so many levels. No. And Nikhil Harry, Bill.
Yep.
All of those. But I think, like, the Pierre Strong and the Tyquan Thornton, that I think that's on that Matt Groh.
Pierre Strong, yeah, I forgot about him. Fourth round pick, him, Jack Jones. It seemed like there was so much promise for that draft, and then
it really seemed like
Cole Strange was a starter. Tyquan Thornton was a project, but he had that one game his rookie year against Cincinnati with the two touchdowns. You remember that?
Oh yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, this guy's gonna be a real weapon.
Everybody did that game. Fitzy was insufferable on the Six Rings postgame show.
Yeah.
He's insufferable. Period. Paragraph. Next sentence. But no, it was like, this is the greatest draft class ever. They're going to be so good. This is going to be like change everything for the team.
Jack Jones had that two interception game.
Where are they all now? Yeah, Jack Jones. Remember when he was talking smack to Aaron Rodgers? Said it was disrespectful to throw an out on him or a comeback or something.
Yeah.
Now where is he now?
Vegas.
Yeah.
Vegas out there losing to Patrick Mahomes.
Bitching with fans out there.
Not bringing guns to the airport anymore, I would hope. Bailey Zappi's in Cleveland. Marcus Jones still here. He had a big play. Marcus Jones is the guy from that draft who missed all of last year and has had one really good play so far this year. Well, two, I should say. That interception return was good, too.
And yesterday was a mixed bag for him because he kind of got torched
on defense,
all over
he did not have a good game, yeah.
Which I actually think it's a bad matchup. I don't think. Marcus Jones should not be covering Garrett Wilson one-on-one all that often, right? He's a slot receiver. And I don't think he's a great corner, but I'm not going to, shred him over the coals for
no, not the way Garrett Wilson did. But, yeah, I'd agree. I didn't think it was a great game for him. In the secondary, I thought, in general, the defense, for all the talk of, well, they really responded to being called soft, did they? I mean, the Jets kind of ran all over him. Garrett Wilson had a huge game. I don't remember them getting, like, huge stops and, like, looking at it saying, wow, that defense really stepped up. That didn't happen a lot.
No. Gonzo had a good day.
He had a good day.
Gonzo added a pelt to his wall as he continues to check off a lot of number one receivers, impressive receivers. Now, they're saying it's the first career shutout he's ever pitched. I guess he didn't allow a single catch.
Okay.
Good. I watched. I thought he played really well. I thought he played really well out there. The rest of the defense, meh. I thought it was meh. And that's kind of been a common theme. I've seen a lot of different columns sort of written. You know, they got a big win. They showed resiliency. But using the soft barometer of run the football, stop the run, cover kicks, they didn't exactly distance themselves from the soft moniker.
No, they didn't. The best runs were Drake May's runs.
Right.
And Ramondre, the first quarter, and then that was it. Yeah.
I thought Ramondre had a sneaky good game because he set up that catch and run on Sauce Gardner down the left side. I thought it was a really nice play. He didn't have big numbers, but I thought Ramondre helped you win the football game.
Yeah,
I thought
he made
the plays he needed to.
He had two kind of quiet touchdowns, but he did get in there. Only about 2 yards per carry, I'd say, overall. But in that first quarter, I liked the play calling. Except for that first series. The first series where it was run, pass, I didn't like that. But after that, I thought Van Pelt, and this was his best game. This was Van Pelt's best game, I think, by far, calling plays. It just seemed like there was a little bit more creativity, a little bit more of getting away from
like the little flea flicker.
I loved the flea flicker. I thought that was great. You know, I was just little stuff like that. When you're an offense that's having so much trouble doing anything, that sort of stuff you need to try. They hadn't really done much of that except for that hook and ladder play that got called back in week three, I guess it was. Other than that, it's been very sort of, run the ball, pass the
ball.
Yeah,
I thought he
did that,
I thought he did a good job, especially when you add in quarterback change in the middle of it and go from the guy who's the athletic, certain game plan to Jacoby Brissett. And this goes back years now. I think they can have had this whole stretch here where they run these, like, change of pace or trick plays, and it never seems to catch the defense off guard.
I know.
It's not like Moses in the Red Sea and it just opens up and you're like, oh, my God, how did it? It's always like a struggle trick play, a struggle type drawn up. Even you mentioned the hook and ladder that had the penalty and the whole thing, even though I still say that wasn't really a penalty. That was Tyquan Thornton.
I didn't think it was a penalty either.
Alex Van Pelt, I think, is taking baby steps forward. Like a lot of this team is, honestly. I do think you can say this team is taking some baby steps forward. Even in light of all the soft play and how bad they were, whatever, London, all that talk. We've seen May in recent weeks. We've seen Booty in recent weeks. Like, we've seen some guys. We've, I think, exited the fumble era which I'm still...
The Stevenson fumble error, yeah.
And I'm still rolling right along. Didn't I bet you he was more likely to not fumble the rest of the year than he was to fumble the fifth time in a row? I'm pretty sure I did. Anyway, and he had an opportunity in this game. Did you see the run earlier? It was like a wide something, and he cut inside the guy, and the guy just went two arms on the ball, and Stevenson kind of like
he held on, backwards,
yeah. holding
on
to the ball.
I did notice that one. And wait, so that bet was... If he doesn't fumble again for the rest of the year, you win?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
And I win a lot.
I forgot
a lot?
What
bet on it. Yeah.
Okay.
Everything in your FanDuel account.
Oh, well.
And you've been on a heater.
That's true. I have, actually. These past 2 weeks have been pretty good for me. I don't know why or how that suddenly happened. The sun shines on a dog's ass once in a while, I suppose. But there you go. Speaking of the sun shining on a dog's ass, back to the wide receivers. Here's what Gerard Mayo had to say about the wide receiver drops. This was from this morning with the Greg Hill Show. He was asked about it. I think that there's some truth in here, but let's take a listen to this.
Oh, sorry, I didn't have this ready, guys. I'm so sorry. I'll get it. Give me a sec.
Okay. Well, he was asked about that. And not just the wide receiver drops, but also the London trip and the reports or whatever that came out of the London trip. And now there's been a few actual reports. Phil Perry, Mike Reese, both saying that Javon Baker missed a curfew or that there was a hiccup in the schedule or something in the itinerary with the team. Mayo comes out this morning and says, no, none of that's true. None of that's true. But first, here's Mayo talking about the wide receivers and their drops.
The issue is the drops. Huh? You're exactly right. You know, those guys, they got open. And you know, good receivers, they get open. They catch the ball. And if they're really good, they run with it afterwards. And you know, we had a bunch of drops yesterday. But those are things that we can correct and look forward to those guys taking the next step.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, too. Any time now would be nice for this team to remember how to catch a football and keep some of these plays going, have some more chunk plays going. This isn't really that new of a thing. Guys were dropping the ball. Juju Smith-Schuster and Devontae Parker and Thornton was still there. He was dropping ball. Like, yeah,
why?
I don't know. I don't really know what to make of this. It seems like receivers come here now, and even when the quarterback gets them, delivers it right to them, I don't know. It's cold. You tell me. I have no idea. I'm not a football guy like that. I don't know why this keeps happening, but it keeps happening.
It definitely keeps happening, and I don't have an answer for it either because you're right. It's guys that, like, Devontae Parker was supposed to, remember the whole thing? He's like 50-50 balls. 80-20
ball.
80-20 with me. And
right.
It became like a 20-80. He couldn't catch. And then, oh, well, I kind of got my hand. Where's that? Vegas when he dropped right in the bucket.
Got my fingertips on
it. Yeah. No, you got your whole hand on it. It hit you right in the hands.
Yep.
And there is a laundry list of them. And it's getting worse because I didn't think Kendrick Bourne was a drops guy.
Right.
He was a drops guy yesterday. Jalen Polk was not supposed to be a drops guy. He thinks he has the best hands in the NFL. He's a drops guy. And... But I also don't feel like...
He doesn't even have the best hands of anybody named Jalen. Jalen Reagor had a big game. I know it's not spelled the same way, but, you know, work with me.
No, I get you.
Like, he's...
It's an homonym.
Yeah, homonym. Is that right? Is that right?
Yeah, sounds
like it.
But it's spelled differently.
Spelled differently, right. But either way, Reagor had a big play in that Chargers game.
But
and either way, I mean, this is the point. Like,
this isn't... I can't think of anything. You come in. We're both, you know, marginal football guys. Jacoby Brissett thinks very little of both of us, probably,
sure, yeah.
Based on his comments this week. You think there's anything they're doing that somehow makes them worse at catching the football? Like, what would that be?
I don't know.
Like, I could, like, Scott Peters and his whole strike principle.
Yeah.
You could say, it's not really clicking with the talent they have. Or Alex Van Pelt, he wants to run wide zone, and that doesn't really fit with Mike Onwenu. You've been catching the ball since you were in Pop Warner. Your hands get bigger. Yeah, they gave you nicer gloves. You get new gloves every week now. You don't have to use the same gloves like you did in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what could possibly be the reason that people that were once decent or good at catching the football suddenly can't catch the football other than their head cases? And it's something to do with opportunities and thinking too much. That's what I think it goes back to.
Could be.
Sort of what you said. Some of that whole... Everybody's fluffing them up. They're agents, they're quasi-agents, they're buddies, they're moms. Everybody's fluffing
saying,
them.
Look at this wide receiver room. You could be the man on this team. You should be the man on this team.
And
you're the best player in the room.
Creating
yeah.
some sort of weirdness in their mind of angst or not taking advantage of opportunities, pressure on themselves. But I liked – Wiggy asked Mayo, I think, last week about it. Maybe it was this week. But it was like, pressure is how we got to where we are.
Right.
You wanted the ball. You caught the ball. Pressure is why we're here. The guys who can't deal with the pressure got washed out prior to this. If you're here, you've dealt with pressure along the way. So that's a weird excuse. But There is no doubt that this wide receiver core right now stinks at catching the football. Stinks at it.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to blame Tyler Hughes, the wide receiver coach, and say, oh, he's doing some bad drills or...
I didn't blame Troy Brown for the last group either, but I mean, how bad...
Because the route running. Troy got blamed for route running. Remember
that's
spacing
true,
issues?
Was a lot of bad
and that's
route
fine.
Running, yeah.
But this is... I don't even care where the routes are. This is guys, ball hits hands, then ball hits turf.
Yeah.
I can't blame the coach. I can't blame the head coach or the position coach or the offensive coordinator. I can't blame the quarterback. And it's not like they went from a righty to a lefty and the spin is different and they're all freaking out. It's not like they're Jamar Chase and suddenly there's no stripe on the ball and they're free. Remember him when he couldn't? He was like, wow, this ball's different than the NCAA ball. And then like 2 weeks later, he got great at catching the football in the NFL.
Yeah, then he had like 300 yards in the game or something.
So to me, there's no real explanation for this. I mean, I don't know. Maybe people on the internet, maybe listeners have some explanation. I just think this is on them. They got to be better. And if they can't be better, then they got to be gone.
Yeah. And it may be just as simple as that, and that may be what ends up happening here. We'll see. I think that in this case, you know, you look ahead to what the future of this team's going to look like, a future with Drake May, a future with whoever at Ramondre Stevenson is your running back, mm-hmm. or if you move on from him, what the offensive line's going to look like. I look at the wide receiver room, and I don't know that there's really any redeeming qualities to it. Like, Kayshon Booty is a guy who... maybe is having a bit of a redemption story this year because he was pretty much written off after the whole gambling thing and the fact that he couldn't get on the field his first year. So maybe there's something there. Maybe there's something there with Pop Douglas, but, you know, you try and trade these guys. You just traded Josh Uche for a sixth-round pick, and I'm kind of surprised he even got that for him.
Me too.
You're not getting anything for these guys. Nobody wants these guys. Even a league that's desperate for wide receivers, you're going to have to figure out some way to resolve this because you got a lot of guys in that room, not a lot who are making big money or anything, and it was hard to move on from Schuster. You know, you moved on from Parker. You had to get those guys out of there, and you kept the cheap ones, you know, and this is what you're stuck with. And it's not like anybody was doing much better before, but it hasn't gotten any better at all. In fact, you could make the argument that this is as bad as it's been. Well, I don't know. I don't know if there's ever been in my lifetime a wide receiver room like this before.
This feels like bottoming out. I was just going to say that. It feels like they've bottomed out because you can talk yourself into.
Even the Rashay Caldwell, Doug Gabriel year, you remember that? Like, 06?
Yeah.
That was bad, but this is worse than that, I think.
Oh, yeah. That's as bad a game across a group of drops that I've seen. But also, remember, they're in the firestorm.
Yeah.
They've been saying dumb stuff, doing dumb stuff. Now they're taking it to the field with them, doing some dumb stuff on the field. If we step away from the moment, I still think you can talk yourself into DeMario Douglas is a 3, a slot receiver. Kendrick Bourne's a 4, a veteran guy. Mm-hmm. And Booty's a guy as a 5th who he just comes in 2-minute drills, end-of-game situations, you know, make plays here or there. I think you can talk yourself into those 3 things. The problem is I just, you know, skipped over 1 and 2. You know, the Andy Hart plan of trade for Cooper Kupp and sign T. Higgins or wherever you're going to get the 1.
Right.
Or draft McMillan out of Arizona with the 5th pick in the draft, something like that. I think we're overreacting to the negative, and I've even done this. Because right now I feel like I wouldn't. If you wanted to get rid of any of them, I wouldn't put up a stink. I wouldn't really criticize it. And that includes Pop Douglas. I've been kind of underwhelmed with him the last couple of weeks. And I think he feels like he should be a more central part of the offense, mm-hmm. and he just isn't right now.
Yeah.
Now, last week, I know he was
sick, so, you know.
I guess, whatever. But just to go back to the thing you brought up about Mayo, I don't think he said that he didn't miss curfew. It didn't happen. He said
they weren't out in London.
Out. So you could miss curfew in a less dramatic way, right?
Right?
Doesn't mean you have to be at a club drinking because you're not in your bedroom,
right?
Like, you could miss curfew because you were just in the lobby and, like, didn't realize, oh, we have curfew now? I didn't know what was going on. But I'm, like, Phil Perry and Mike Reese report it. I'm going to say that Baker missed curfew.
Someone was talking, yeah. Someone said something.
But, like, to those guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody DM'd Ben Volen. Cheap
right.
shot, Ben. Sorry. My bad. Stray. You caught it there. But Mike Reese and Phil Perry are telling me he missed curfew. I think he missed curfew. And then I think intentionally today when Gerard Mayo was saying, you know, not to go back to London, but guys weren't out in London. He didn't say nobody missed curfew. He said
True.
They weren't out.
Yeah.
And Javon Baker could have been, like, with his mom having tea and crumpets or something. It doesn't have to be nefarious or crazy or whatever. But Gerard Mayo didn't say that he didn't miss curfew.
No, that's true. Do we have that one, Stiz? This is Mayo talking about the guys in London. You take a listen to this. This is from Greg Hill's show this morning right here in this room.
Guys being out in London, simply not true. And so those stories continue to come out where it's just not true.
Not true.
Yeah. So I'm not sure where it's coming from, but I mean, everyone has their sources. Again, working in the media, I understand how that works, but it's simply not true.
So nobody missed curfew in London.
I'm saying this. We did not have people out in London.
Okay. So
that's different. He didn't say
deny that he missed curfew. Said that there weren't guys out in London.
Right. And there's been. So you remember? Okay. Remember when Kendrick Bourne made the comments about guys being out late,
eating weird stuff,
Exactly. Everybody jumped to Pop Douglas, like, oh, he's hungover. Mm-hmm. Then I even jumped to maybe Kendrick Bourne was. I mean, KJ Osborne was mad because he was inactive, was out drinking, and then realized, wait, I'm going to play.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't really getting my mind right and my body right. I was out drinking. I think Gerard is more answering those types of stories. Baker, it seems like it's sort of a fact he missed curfew.
Yeah,
but he could have been. Maybe he was at chapel.
Yeah. Could be.
You could miss curfew to chapel.
It's a lot of historical churches in there.
Yes.
In
maybe he was at Winston Churchill's bunker or whatever over there.
Yeah.
Maybe he went to the Harrow School to check out. He heard some idiot on the radio bitching about how old and crappy it was. He wanted to see for himself.
Did I tell you, I got an earful. There's this guy who works at the bar. He's from England. I heard what you said about the Harrow School.
He was mad? He was defending it?
Yeah. I was like, oh, sorry.
Well, you were kind of over the top.
Well, whatever. It looked like a dumpy old gym. What do you want from me? I don't care that there was a scene from Harry Potter shot there.
Fenway Park might.
How about a renovation once in a while? Fenway Park got a renovation.
It's still kind of a dumpy old place, isn't it? Like, people complain about the sight lines and the concourses. It is what it is.
Yeah, those people who have that one row behind the sticks, they don't like
it. The flooding.
Yeah, either way. And the flooding. The flooding's a problem. I agree. That's all that. Sure. Fine. And if people want to rip Fenway Park for it, I'm not going to argue with them. But come on. That school looked like a dump to me. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, Drake May played for one quarter. How'd he look? We'll get to that next.
Stiz challenged me. He said, hey, Arcan, see if you can figure out this rejoin.
Why I use
Maddie the Marine, you got one? You have any idea? He's not paying attention. No on the rejoin? I don't know. I'm embarrassed, but I'm stumped. What is this?
Ghostface Killer, run.
Run. Right.
Nailed it.
Right. That's what this is.
So it's appropriate.
It's appropriate. It is. Because that was a great run by
Drake. Why didn't you ask me?
Yeah, why didn't you ask? Why didn't you ask Andy Hart's this?
I'm hip.
Good question.
Hip-hop? Hip-hop Anonymous?
There
Hurtful.
You go.
Hurtful.
Drake May with a Garth nice Brooks. Touchdown run. It was probably his best highlight of the day, I would say, since Tyquan Thornton dropped that bomb that he was extending the play and made a nice throw across his body, but that one didn't end up being anything. When he turned the corner, I thought that linebacker had an angle.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to push him right out of bounds.
Nope.
He turned on the Jets and went right around them.
You could actually see it he was sort of, I would say, cruising and then picked it up a notch to get around, and then kind of cruised to the pylon.
Hit the thrusters there.
Yeah,
and I wasn't.
Boost.
Listen, I didn't think that he had those kind of. I didn't think he had that kind of speed.
You're a hater.
I thought
did
he
that
could run.
Did that not look like Josh Allen?
It looked like Josh Allen. It looked like Randall Cunningham. Like that was a nice run.
Whoa,
that's what it looked like.
Whoa,
getting around a corner like that, coming through the middle, climbing the pocket, then getting to the outside and outrunning a linebacker like that. That's. I mean, listen.
I grew up. Randall Cunningham was one of the founding football heroes of my youth.
I don't think he looks like that all the time, but that's what he looked like to me on that play.
Okay. I'll take it.
A very tall Randall Cunningham.
If you want to compare him to Randall Cunningham and Josh Allen, some combination of the two, that seems like a pretty good future the Patriots have at the quarterback position as long as he gets his head right. Now, do you think we have nothing to go on, right? I haven't missed any reports or anything in recent minutes.
No, we know that Mayo this morning said that it was the league that called in and told him to come out of the game. Like, the concussion, whoever they had on the sideline, it wasn't a big thing to that. They were going to have him go back out there, and then the league intervened and told him he had to come off the field.
And he's in the protocol, but we don't know.
Well, that's a little interesting, isn't it? The league decides to intervene, and the team wasn't going to.
They're supposed to. That's why they have spotters. That's why, I mean, he got hit in the back of the head. It wouldn't surprise me if he had a concussion based just on when you finally see the replay of the actual blow to the head.
But he also stayed down on the field for a while, and his teammates all gathered around him, and there was a whole
thing. In the old days,
we'd
say he had his bell rung.
Right.
You're not allowed to say that anymore.
It's not the old days anymore, Andy. I mean, this is the whole thing. They had to pay out $700 million for all the concussion settlements. Like, that's
correct.
This is a new day that we live in now, and I'm surprised that they're being kind of cavalier about it. That's all. I just thought that was a little strange.
I don't know that cavalier is the proper word. I think
they sent him right back in there.
It happens all the time.
Okay, that means they're being cavalier.
No, I think they're being inept. You people all think there's something weird going on. I think people don't pay attention to what their jobs are supposed to be. Remember there was one a couple years ago? There was the guy that was supposed to be like the spotter in the press box, and he was getting a hot dog or something.
I don't know that, but
yes,
that's
like
funny.
These idiots are not doing the job they're supposed to be doing. It's ineptitude at certain levels. But
Mayo also said that he wanted to go back in the game.
Right, and he
and
should.
That's the
I love
thing.
It.
Like, Tua wants to come back out and play, and he
yep.
played. They lost, but he came out there and played. You know, May even getting his bell rung or whatever, he wants to go back out there and play. And that's ultimately, I think, why this conversation's never really going to go anywhere. Because no matter what, like, the fans would like to see in order to protect the players, no matter what they think should be implemented, it's ultimately, once they're cleared by the team, it's up to them. It's up to the players, and they're always going to pick football. They're always going to want to go back in and play.
Because they're competitors.
Exactly.
And that's why I like – to me, this is a good – that was a good comment to hear about Drake May. He's a competitor.
Yep.
Because, you know, I had my question about the whole MRI thing, and maybe did he ask for an MRI? Is that why there was some weirdness to the MRI there? Whatever. We've put that to bed. We've moved on to this concussion, head injury, you know, protocol, whatever it is. My only question is, do you think there was an abundance of caution? Is it just X and Y? Because I still find concussions strange. You know, when you come across them, I've come across them like coaching youth sports at high school games with my kid. Like,
mm-hmm.
they're still just like a weird gray area because it's not like you can, you know, the ACL, they do that test where they just pull on and they're like, uh-oh,
right. yep.
that doesn't feel right. There's no ACL anymore.
6 to 8 weeks and
right.
there you go and you know it. And
whatever.
That's it. Right, yeah.
So
concussions are all different too.
Yeah.
There's different grades of concussions. There's different symptoms of concussion. Like, there's
and
all sorts
like,
of different things.
Ah, what day is it? Ah, Sunday, you nailed it. Who's running for president? Ah, Harris and Trump. Ooh, nice job. say the months backwards and then you time them and you're like, oh. That took 1.7 seconds longer than it did when we set the baseline. You must have a concussion. I don't know. I have no idea.
You ever had one?
Not diagnosed.
Really?
I'm pretty sure I had a bunch that weren't.
I've had three diagnosed that I know of for sure. One was when I was a kid and I fell off the monkey bars. One was in a basketball game. I went up for a rebound and someone undercut me.
Oh, the floor.
And third one, I got rear-ended. I was driving to my old job in New Hampshire and I was sitting at a stoplight and this guy in a Buick just rear-ended me going like 25 miles an hour. And I hit my head on the back of the seat and I didn't realize I had a concussion because they were like, oh, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. So I got a rental car. I drove to work to do the show and I'm driving up to New Hampshire and I was like, I definitely have a concussion. Like, oh, man. Like, the radio was on, and I, like, didn't even know. Like, it was like it wasn't on at all.
Right.
Like, I couldn't hear it. It was just I'm driving, and I'm like, oh, boy.
But this is the perfect example that I've always – I'm weird because I take concussions seriously, but I'm also skeptical of a lot of what goes on. And the BU Center and the studying of brains, and they're all ex-NFL players. Well, yeah, I assume they probably all have some sort of damage. I would like to see your brain studied after you're dead.
Okay.
Because you've had head injuries.
Mm-hmm.
How does it compare to NFL players? Is it, you know, a 1 out of 100 and they're at 100 level? Or is it closer than that? Because that's the flaw in understanding concussions is what everyday people go through that have had minor, you know, fell off their bike, hit
right.
their head, fell off the bed, hit their, like, bumped their head walking through a doorway. And
just think about how many they probably have in, like, practice.
Right. But I don't know.
Right.
And they don't know. And it's such...
I know it's more than I had.
Right.
Like, I know it's more
than
I've had in my life.
But, like I know
every football player in the world, I can tell you, has probably had more than I had.
Absolutely. But I think every kid probably has at some point. Fell out of the tree. Fell off the monkey bars. Fell.
Mm-hmm.
And was it diagnosed? Was it not? Especially in the old days, it was... Nobody was diagnosing concussions back then.
Right.
You rung your bell. You went and laid down for a little while. When you felt better, you went out. Right? Like, there was... You know, the nurse gave... No, you don't have a temperature. You know, why don't you lay down for a little bit?
Yeah.
You'll be fine. A little
don't
while.
Go to sleep, but lay down for a bit. Yeah.
Are you concerned about it is my question. Like, because we have the Tua example of they keep coming back. And
right.
the last one was seemingly not a big hit. He ran into the gut of a tackler.
Right.
Really kind of hit a guy in the belly. And maybe the guy's got abs of steel, but like that jarred his brain. That was alarming. And you don't want to go down that road this early on with Drake May. I don't. As much, to my knowledge, he doesn't have a history like Tua did. Tua had a history coming into the league,
mm-hmm.
and then that's gotten much worse since he's been in the league, because that's the one thing that's scary about this. Like,
yeah.
We can just move past, because it happens all the time.
And Drake May also played basketball in high school. He's got four
yep.
older brothers who I'm sure he wrestled with all
right.
the time, you know, threw each other around in the basement.
That's a great point. He might have had concussions he didn't even really know.
Exactly.
I bet you the Gronkowskis all had concussions in that basement we heard about, like the, what did they play, like pillow hockey or something? They were like lighting each other up.
Yeah.
I bet you they had concussions down there.
Probably, yeah.
So I just, that would be my one concern, is you never want to go down the concussion road with a quarterback. especially when you get into the sliding and the running and the hits he's going to have to take moving forward and the turf and learning how to fall and the Tom Brady thing. And hell, Giselle. Remember when Giselle was like, ah, he's had a million concussions. They just don't tell anybody.
Right.
So what was that now? Excuse me?
Listen, did anyone think she was exaggerating?
Oh, no, I think it's absolutely the truth, and that's we're just in a different era where we know about it immediately.
Yep, that's true. All right, Patriots defensive back Jonathan Jones is waiting in the wings. He'll be joining us here in a few minutes. That's coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.